What's up, everybody? We're back with another episode of Pound for Pound. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
A Shot of Lime production.
You know what they say, Henry? The sun is out, so I brought the gunnies out. It's super hot here in South Florida right now. But, Henry, a lot went down this weekend in the in the combat sports world, and of course, the fight that a lot of people were waiting on, the Oleksandr Usyk taking on Tyson Fury. And what an incredible fight, Henry.
I tell you what, Kamaru Usman, the Nigerian Nightmare. This fight is actually, as of right now, because we're early in the year, this is fight of the year. You're talking about two competitive heavyweights that put it all on the line. I mean, Tyson Fury had the right game plan of just using that jab, sticking and moving. It reminds me a lot like Larry Holmes back in the day, where Larry Holmes was a pretty heavy set guy, but the way he was just able to use that jab and really keep Usyk at bay. But slowly but surely, you start to see the tides kind of change a little bit. By the time like the sixth and seventh round kind of somewhat came about, It almost felt like it started swinging more, a little bit more towards Usyk as he started kind of going to the body, attacking the body throughout the whole fight. But it seemed like all that movement that Tyson Fury was doing eventually started catching up with him, eventually him getting clipped. Look at that, Kamaru. I mean, watch this dude get clipped, and then watch it you just stay on his damn feet. I mean, you talk about heart, dude. Was it the best thing a fighter could do? I know we don't have that rule. I wish they had somewhat that rule in mixed martial arts, because a lot of times a referee will stop the fight. But I think if a fighter is able to somewhat kind of to himself take a knee, and then the referee is able to give us like somewhat a 10 count, I think that would be cool. But that being said, Tyson Fury was able to use the rope. He was able to stay up. I mean, he was hurt, and that was just a difference in that fight, Kamaru. I mean, from him almost getting finished, I want to say it was either the eighth or the ninth round, to eventually seeing Usyk kind of, you know, start winning the rounds. And then obviously, to me, I had a 6-6 going into that fight, Kamaru, but it was that 12th round that I felt that Tyson Fury won that 12th, dude. I had Tyson Fury winning, and typically I don't like to, you know, typically I always like to go according to the judges, but I had a 6-6 going into the 12th, and I had Tyson Fury winning that 12th round, man. So I don't know, Kamaru. I don't know what
you mean at the fight, at the end of the fight.
At the end of the fight, okay. Yeah, because you got, okay. It was a 10-8 round from that knockout. Yeah. It was a 10-8 round for Usyk, but that 12th, okay, to me was the determining factor. I like to count every time I judge a fight, Kamaru. I like to count who's winning these rounds, and for that round, I'm just like, hey, man, I completely had it even. I tried to be as fair as I possibly can, but I had it even going into that 12th, and I felt like Fury did enough to win that 12th round to actually win the fight.
Okay. It was an incredible fight. I mean, the fight of the greatest heavyweight fight, I don't think so. I think it's, you know, we've seen too many good heavyweight fights. And for you, Henry, you say, for one, I don't think it's cool for MMA for us to be able to take knees, because the main reason why our sport is what it is because we can finish guys. And now imagine taking a knee, you're already concussed, you take a knee and you come up and you still got to take another elbow or you got to take another knee. No, you're trying to create brain damage in there, Henry. So I wouldn't like that. But as far as this fight, I think it was an incredible fight. But I think Tyson Fury understood the assignment. He knew that you cannot necessarily fight someone like Oleksandr Usyk in a conventional style. You can't fight him like that. We saw Anthony Joshua try, and he was taken to school. You cannot do that with Oleksandr Usyk. So I think Tyson Fury understood the assignment with the way that he was rolling with the punches. He was moving. It was kind of unorthodox. He was switching to southpaw, popping the jab. He was catching him with those uppercuts. Those were masterful, the way he was just jabbing and then sneaking that uppercut right behind. And he hurt Oleksandr Usyk a couple of times with it. But it's, you know, the thing about Usyk that sets him apart is this guy can do it. for not one, not two, not three, but he can do it for 12 rounds without getting tired. His footwork is incredible. And I think one of the biggest things that he does well is learning how to put guys in a position to where he fights them on the angle and he's able to get the better of guys, especially bigger guys. You saw with Anthony Joshua, he was able to slide off to the angles and land that left hand to where he hurt Joshua a couple times. And now you saw it again versus Tyson Fury. He hurt him, and Tyson Fury, even one thing that I think was impressive is even when he was going down, he just refused to fall down. But even when he was going down, if you watch the slow-mo, Tyson Fury is still, he's still rolling punches. He's still rolling imaginary punches that aren't even there. He's still moving that chin just a little bit, just rolling punches, even as he was falling down. And so what an incredible fight. Of course, you know, when you go down to the end of the wire, you got to go by who did the most damage. Who that's the first criteria, who did the most damage. And Oleksandr Usyk was able to hurt Tyson Fury a lot worse in the fight. So That's why the nod went to him. But I would love to see it again, Henry.
Oh, no, 100%. Hey, can you guys pull up the scorecard once again? I want you to take a look at it. Dude, those beginning rounds, bro, I had Tyson Fury because of that damn jab. And apparently all three judges gave that first round to a guy like to Usyk, which I felt like that jab was just so effective, dude, the movement.
The jab of Usyk or the
no,
jab
no,
of
No, the
of
jab
Fury?
The jab of Tyson Fury, man. I felt like Fury was fighting that perfect fight. But then watch, you see, it was a split decision. Everybody saw Fury winning that 12th, but apparently.
Wait, so are you saying that you have a problem with the decision?
I have a problem with the beginning. I'm gonna have to rewatch the fight, but I kind of. I felt like Fury got a lot more of those earlier rounds where, you know, the judge on, you know, it's, man, it's trippy, dude. That first, man. I tell you what, Kamaru, boxing is a hard sport to judge because you cannot just, in boxing, it's you're literally a punch or two away from somebody winning a freaking round. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's that competitive. And I just feel
at the highest level, of course, you know, but it, the biggest thing that counts for this is who creates the most damage. You can throw 30 pity-pat punches, bop, 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 barely touch me, you know, grazing shots that touch me. But if I rock you with one hand, I think that supersedes that 30 little pity-pat punches that you did because I am creating the most damage. I am trying to put you out. I'm trying to end the fight. So I think that's the greatest criteria of which this could go with. And if you look at the whole fight, it was razor close. Both guys had their moments, but I think Oleksandr Usyk landed the shot that hurt, put Tyson Fury in the most danger throughout the whole fight.
Yeah.
So that's why. But if you even look at this, look at it, why Tyson Fury's hurt. Look at the awareness of still being able to try to roll punches. He's still seeing punches coming even when they're not coming. Look at it, he's rolling punches. He's still trying to roll, just moving that chin just a little bit. And he refuses to go down. And that was great on the referees to understand that, yep, it's the ropes that kept him up or he would have went down there. So you give him the standing eight count, which was a little more than eight. But he was able to survive, and he was able, like he did, even when he fought Deontay Wilder the first time, he was able to wake back up and still able to win rounds after that happened. So, you know, what an incredible fight. And you know what's crazy, Henry, is we're older than both of these guys.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
It's a trip. But look at also Kamaru, all the bouts that he won. Let me tell you mm-hmm. this dude's accolades, dude. WBA cruiserweight, WBC cruiserweight champ, IBF cruiserweight champ, WBO cruiserweight champ, ring cruiserweight, WBA heavyweight, WBC heavyweight, IBF heavyweight, WBO heavyweight, and ring heavyweight. I mean, this dude has every freaking belt under the sun. And not just that, he's a smaller heavyweight, Kamaru.
I think he's the first guy to do it since Lennox Lewis. No, not Lennox Lewis. Since the real deal, Evander Holyfield. Because I believe Holyfield was a Holyfield was the cruiserweight champion, unified the belts as cruiserweight, and then bumped up to heavyweight and became the heavyweight champion. So I think I might be wrong. You know, I'm not an boxing encyclopedia, but from my boxing knowledge, I think he might be the first. Oh, he's the first guy to do it in the four belt era. But I think he might be the first guy since Evander Holyfield to not only slide up from cruiserweight, but then become the heavyweight champion. No. And this is, it's another thing, Henry, that shows that skills pay the bills here. He's not exactly the biggest heavyweight. He's not the biggest puncher, but it's the skills. Skills pay the bills. And I would love, it's great. I know it's crazy, and I know everyone's going to try to say something about it, but I would love to see him fight a guy like Francis Ngannou. Only for the sheer fact of, yes, I want to see the level of skill here. Yes, he schooled the other guys, but Francis is the biggest puncher out there. But I want to see how Tyson Fury takes him, how Oleksandr Usyk is able to break a guy like that down, take him to school, and really show the skills required in boxing, that it's not just about being able to punch hard. Yeah. So that's the only reason I would want to see it. Of course, you know, Francis coming off that loss, of course, is not a good account for himself, but that's the only reason I would like to see it because, he's beating everybody else.
Yeah, 100%. But there's still a lot of other heavyweights too, man. But really, the real winner, you know who the real winner is on this is really Tyson Fury, because Tyson Fury gets another clause. You know, there's a rematch clause in to fight him once again, and then not just that, but there is that potential match between him and Anthony Joshua. You know, you're talking about the battle of the two guys from the damn UK. I mean that fight is huge. I mean, of course, if he would have won, the fight would have been bigger. Now you unify all the belts and okay, winner take all. But from the simple fact that there's still a fight there, a big fight for a guy like Tyson Fury, I think that's it. And then what'd you think of the other thing where Tyson Fury got in the Micah's head? The only reason why I lost this fight is because Ukraine has been on war, because Ukraine has been at war, and there's a lot of sympathy for Oleksandr Usyk. I personally, I've always thought that Usyk was going to win that fight, but then watching that fight, Kamaru Usman, I felt like Tyson Fury did enough, dude, to win it. It's what it is. Am I mad at what he said? No, but, who knows,
yeah,
bro?
Touch on the statement. Give me your opinion on the statement.
I mean, I want to say it's not right, but I think you know, being overseas and everything that's been going on, I mean, you've seen a lot of judging and a lot of things. Like, you know, we talk about Mexican Independence Day. It's like, hey, man, careful fighting Mexican fighters on that day because, dude, there's a lot of favoritism because people want to see, you know, the people actually win or whatnot. But okay. I don't know, Kamaru. I don't want to get political, but what do you think, Kush?
This is how I feel about that. First and foremost, I think it's, you know, as a champion, one of the biggest requirements, and as a martial artist, because these guys are martial artists in a certain way, in a way. Obviously, they have one discipline, which is boxing, but it's a form of martial arts. And the first thing that you are taught in martial arts is respect and discipline. And those are the first principles that we are taught. And I understand that, as you know, you get emotional as a fighter, you get emotional out there. And especially if you're undefeated, you don't want to lose your zero. But where is the respect? Like, these guys are your role models. You can't be saying something like that. You can't, because you know what? We learned this. I learned this before I got into the UFC. I learned this hearing the great Burt Watson, you know, backstage when he used to do his pep talks to all the UFC fighters, some of the legends. Burt Watson would let you know, hey, don't leave it in the hands of the judges, because they will make you cry every time. So Tyson Fury, if you didn't want the judges to be involved, then you should have done enough work to go out there and put the guy away. You didn't put the guy away. It was a razor thin, close decision. And the guy hurt you the most. He put you in the most danger throughout the fight. So for you to say, oh, he got a favoritism decision, I think that's messed up. You know, as a competitor, as an artist, you know, I understand you were emotional, but that's not what we do. Yeah. You know, so I don't agree with that statement. You left the fight in the hands of the judges and they made you cry.
Damn.
You still went home.
Kush, I like this Kamaru Usman.
Bro, woo! Yeah.
Well said, Kamaru.
He still went home with that humongous bag, though.
Yeah.
Humongous bag. He actually got paid more than the champion did. So.
Yeah. Hey. No, well said. Well said. You, honestly, Kamaru, I couldn't have said it any better. You leave it to the hands of the judges. You got to eat it, take it, do what it is that you got to swallow it, whatever it is that you got to do. But you lost at the end of the day. I mean, there's a lot of exciting fights. I think Usyk fought a very smart, a good fight, invested in the fight. You know, this fight's going to happen, Kamaru. I mean, there's a rematch. There's a rematch clause. This fight is going to take place. I mean,
what's next? Touch on that, you're right. To touch, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but to touch on that, what you said earlier, you hit the nail on the head. And the real winner here too is Tyson Fury, because look, now you've got a rematch clause with Francis Ngannou. You got Anthony Joshua still sitting there, and then you've got a rematch clause with Alexander Usyk again. You have three fights that you're gonna make another 10 or 11 figures, you know, on 10 figures. From? Or is it nine figures? Nine, 10 figures. What's 10? 10's a billion, right? Sorry, my math is off right now. But you know, eight or nine figures.
Kamaru, you're getting close to that? What's up?
No, not even close. He's got 8 or 9 figures still coming in. So, hey, you know.
Nine figure salary. 100. These dudes made $100 million, dude.
Bro, so you know. Like, at the end of the day, you still got three fights now. And it's almost, in some spaces, he didn't really lose. You won at the end of the day, because now a fight seems more compelling with Anthony Joshua. Can Anthony Joshua actually go out there and beat Tyson Fury because Tyson Fury looks beatable now? Or can Francis Ngannou do it now because he looks beatable now? You know, all these questions start to arise and people want those questions answered. So, yes, Tyson Fury, I agree with you, Henry. Tyson Fury is, it was a big winner in this. Yes, of course, he lost the fight, but he was a big winner in this. And, you know, I think it's a decision for him. Whichever one he wants to pick, he's going to do.
Yeah, the heavyweight division right now, Kamaru, I mean, let's not forget you have Andrew Ruiz. Let's not forget you have Deontay Wilder. I mean,
Joseph Parker, Daniel Dubois. You've got guys in there. You know, you got guys that are
the heavyweight division, you know? Because it's been in such a drought, bro. People used to talk shit about the heavyweight division. Right now in boxing, to me, it is the hottest division, pound for pound.
It is hot. It is hot.
Joshua, think about it.
Don't forget you. Don't forget Fury. You got the welterweights.
Deontay Wilder, Andy Ruiz, and then everybody that you've named. I mean, bro.
Yep.
And these dudes are actually fighting each other. These dudes are fighting each other, Kamaru.
Well, they have no choice, you know, thanks to Turki Al-Sheikh and these guys in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, who are really, you know, big shout out to these guys for stepping in and really doing big things there. Obviously, it started with my man Prince Khaled at Skills Challenge, but you know, what these guys are doing now, they're making these guys fight each other. And I think the next phase, and obviously the U.S. were still, and PBC, they're still holding on to these smaller guys. But eventually, these smaller guys are going to realize, hey, in order for me to get this bag, I got to go over there to really make that mega fight, you know, with Saudi. So, but welterweights are hot too. Don't forget, you got Terrence Crawford, you got Errol Spence, you got, you know, Ryan Garcia now. You got Devin Haney and these guys wanting to move up in that division. You've got, you know,
what's his name? Kamaru Usman.
It is competitive, but we got these guys down here, you know. And so, I don't know. I wouldn't. You know what? I can't even argue that. I think it's a little deep. It's a little deeper right now.
Yeah, the heavyweight division's too deep, Kamaru. Well, Kamaru. Yeah. It was such a great breakdown. Always breaking shit down with you. This was good. It was so good that we had to literally come out here and talk about boxing.
And absolutely.
I'm your co-host, Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And the Nigerian Nightmare. You know what they say. The sun's out, so I brought the gunnies out.
All right. Out.